looking through the 12 and 12 in the big book and all that a little while ago. And, you know, step 8 says, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. And, you know, part of that step I have done when I do my 4th step, because that's where I get my list from of the people that I had harmed is from my inventory. And the second part, became willing to make amends to them all. There were a lot of people that I just really had no interest in making amends to, and like my ex-husband, because, you know, he was a horrible person. And, you know, if he hadn't treated me like that, my life would suck like it did. And, you know, all these other people who had done me harm, you know, even though, you know, I had been through a 4th and a 5th and I looked at my part, I still had that ego that said, well, their part was bigger than my part was. And, you know, that doesn't have anything to do with steps 8 and 9. This is totally about cleaning off my side of the street. And it's funny because when I was looking at step 8 and the 12 and 12, it's highlighted, but I saw a line today that I don't remember ever seeing. And it's in the last paragraph in step 8, and it says, whenever our pencil falters, we can fortify and cheer ourselves by remembering what AA experience in this step has meant to others. It is the beginning of the end of isolation from our fellows and from God. And I went, wow, I don't ever remember seeing that before. Obviously, it's been there. But for me, that was the truth. It was the beginning of the end of the isolation from my fellows and from God. Steps 6 and 7 are pretty much between me and God. You know, they don't really involve other people. But when I put those into practice in steps 8 and 9, then that's, you know, when I start to lose that isolation and get that feeling of, you know, being on the broad highway. And, you know, step 9 says, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Well, you know, in my opinion, you know, doing a lot of those amends was going to injure me, so I didn't want to do them. And again, that's not really what it's about. And it talks about it in here. It talks about, you know, different kinds of direct amends that I'm going to be making. You know, there's some that I need to do right away. And then there's some, you know, that I can maybe only do partially. And then there's some, you know, maybe I'm not going to be able to ever see these people, or for whatever reason, you know, maybe because it really would cause harm to other people that I do not make those direct amends. And of course, you know, on my list was, you know, one of the biggest resentments on that list, of course, was my ex-husband. And I said to Beverly, I'm not ever going to make amends to him ever. And she said, well, here's what I would like you to do. I want you to make 3 lists. Make a list of the people that you're willing to make amends to right now, the people that you're willing to make amends to later down the road, and the people that it'll be hell froze over before you make amends to those people. And so I did that, and he was on that list. And of course, because my God has a sense of humor, some things came up that he happened to be one of the first people that was put in my path. And so, because I didn't know if I was going to get another opportunity, I made those amends to him. And, you know, the thing about making amends to people that I didn't want to make amends to, it wasn't about him. You know, I knew that, you know, nothing about him had changed, but I knew that if I were going to change, that this was a really important amend to make. Had he done more harm to me than I had to him? Maybe, but, you know, that's subjective. If you ask him, he'd probably say that I did more harm to him than he did to me. Okay, where did everybody go? I don't know what happened there. Cat's not even in here. And so, you know, I made these amends, and he, you know, really tried to use them as a club over my head for quite some time and for several years. And what you guys taught me is that, you know, I need to react differently than I did before. And so, I don't know why, I don't know what's going on here, but like I keep shrinking. For some reason, I don't know. Kevin, are you doing something?
Maybe, but I hope not.
Yeah, I don't know what the heck's going on here.
Yeah, I'm not.
I can't blame it on my cat because she's not here. Sorry, guys. I've got like all sorts of weird stuff coming up. I don't know where I am. Okay, we'll try this again.
We hear you fine, Terry.
Okay, I just can't see you guys. So as long as you can see and hear me, I guess it's okay. And you know, I kind of knew that he was going to do that, and he, you know, for the next however 20, almost 30 years that I've had to interact with him, which hasn't been very often because most of this last 30 years he's lived out of state. But when I've had occasion to interact with him, what I learned is that he hasn't changed. He still tried to push the same old buttons that he always pushed. And the difference is that I have changed and they don't work anymore. And it's funny because he posted something on Facebook the other day, and it was in regard to something that I had dealt with him in our marriage. And I really wanted to make a sarcastic comment. And, you know, I mean, I really wanted to make a sarcastic comment. And I thought about it and I thought, you know what, I can't do this. It's not about him. It's about me. And honestly, I don't know whether he has changed or not in that particular area. So, you know, to me, sometimes making amends is not, as Beth says, not poking the bear, you know, leaving well enough alone and learning to keep my mouth shut. Because I don't need to cause harm to anybody. And I don't know, you know, who would have seen that post. I don't know who it would have caused harm to, but I know that, you know, this is about me and about my spiritual growth. And so as much as I really wanted to tell him, well, I still think you're a jerk and clearly you're delusional. Again, in my opinion, he is. It's not my place to tell him that, you know, it's just not my place. He's not really, you know, too much a part of my life. And you know, again, it's, you know, Beverly says, keep your mouth shut, you know, and I'm reading in the big book. And so there's a lot in the chapter Into Action about steps 8 and 9. And, you know, I didn't understand that doing things like paying the old electric bills that, you know, I had used several names, you know, aliases and whatever. I didn't understand that, you know, taking care of those things was part of my making amends. But it isn't. And a friend of mine talked about it in her lead. And she said that, you know, when she got sober, she got this big piece of cardboard and she put it up on her wall in her living room. And she wrote down all of the aliases that she had used and all of the bills that she had run up in those aliases names, you know, electric bill, gas bill, water bill, whatever it was, credit cards. And she said, she put the amount that she owed next to every one of those things. And she said she started at the top of the list and she paid maybe $5 a month on the first one. And then, you know, pretty soon the first one was knocked out. And then she went to the second one. And she said that about 6 months before her and her husband applied for a mortgage to buy a house, those financial amends had all been made. And she said it was such a feeling of relief. And I really have had a similar experience. I paid the IRS for about 20 years. First of all, because I really didn't feel like I should have to pay taxes because, you know, I'm pretty special. And I was also in a marriage where my ex-husband didn't feel that he needed us to pay taxes either. And so he hid some things that I was unaware of. And so I ended up owing a lot of money in back taxes. And literally those just got finished being paid off about 3 years ago. And you know, it was a huge relief to me. And I kept getting these calls from people about I don't know what is going on here. About you know, credit card bills that were in my name, but they weren't credit cards that I had opened. And so I would get all these calls and I would say, you know, I'm not paying this because it's not my bill, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, I thought about it and I prayed about it and I realized that, you know, no, it wasn't my bill. It wasn't my responsibility. I didn't incur that debt, but I was married to that man. And so it kind of was my responsibility. And so I actually paid that debt off too. I worked out a deal with them and I paid that debt off last year. And, you know, we've been divorced for, I don't know, a long time, 20 years or close to 20 years. And just a really, really good feeling to do those things. You know, I'm not afraid to answer my phone anymore. I still don't answer it a lot because, you know, telemarketers and, you know, scammer calls. But I'm not afraid to answer my phone anymore. I'm not afraid to check my mail. You know, and that for me is part of the making the amends, is getting rid of that fear. Jack, you keep popping up in a picture. I swear there's something serious going on with my computer.
Terry, if you could look on the bottom of your screen, I think you have your video shut off.
No, I don't. What's happening is, I don't know, it's something wrong with my computer. Other things keep popping up, like photos and stuff that I'm not opening. So I don't know, different things just keep popping up. So we're going to...
On my screen, it just has your videos off.
Yeah, it's not. It's okay. It's not. Here, let me try something. Yeah, I don't have any idea what's going on here. We'll reset this. Let me reset this. Maybe that will help. Just about the time I think I have this tech crap figured out, you know, then something else comes up. So, okay. PC camera. Okay, now let me start my video down here again. Okay, there. Can you see me now?
There we are. Hi.
Okay.
Hi, Terry.
Yeah, it was so weird. Like all these windows kept popping up that don't have anything to do with this, and I don't know why. So, you know, making amends. Again, it's not about the other people. It's not about the other institutions. It's just about me. And it talks about in here, you know, my real purpose is to fit myself to be of maximum service to God and the people around me. And the best way that I can do that is to make sure that I'm not holding anything back. I'm not hiding anything. And I really, you know, I'd be pretty much of a hypocrite if I said to the women that I sponsor, you know, these are the amends that you need to make, if I hadn't done them, you know. And you know, there are prayers. There are prayers for step 8. There are prayers for step 9. You know, if I'm not willing, you know, then I ask, you know, I ask for the willingness. I ask to be willing to do these things. And, you know, I'm sure that I'm going to have to make amends the rest of my life. I'm sure that things are going to pop up that I've forgotten about, because I did a lot of damage for a whole lot of years. And I'm sure that there's things that are going to pop up that I've forgotten about. That's happened to me over, you know, the last 27 years, that I've had to go back and say, hey, you know what, I need to make an amend for this. What can I do to make this right? And that's the thing. A remorseful mumbling that we are sorry will not fill the bill at all. You know, we have to, an amend means making it right. Doesn't mean saying I'm sorry. I use the words I'm sorry a lot, and they never meant anything because I didn't mean them. And so making amends, you know, for me is making it right to the best of my ability in all of the areas. And, you know, the other thing about this is that, you know, we get to on the bottom of page 83, of course, if you know the big book, you know, that's where the quote promises start. There's like 196, but these are the 12 that people talk about. And it says here, if we're painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. And that means before we're halfway through step 9. So if you're looking to get those promises any sooner than that, they're probably not going to happen for you. I know that I felt that I had some new freedom and new happiness and all those other things, but those true feelings of freedom and happiness and the true, you know, lack of fear of financial insecurity, those things didn't come to me until the middle of step nine. And that's what it says in the book, you know, that's where, you know, that's where I do this. And, you know, I always thought that that I hadn't really hurt anybody with my drinking because I shoved everybody away. And you know, what people pointed out to me was, okay, you weren't around and that's how you hurt them. You know, you took your presence and your love and your relationships away from your family, you know, away from your children, away from these people. That's what you did. You know, maybe even in people that I was, quote, present with. When I was drinking, I wasn't present. I was drinking and that's all I thought about. And so I had to look at those things too, that I did owe amends to people, that I needed to, you know, try to spend time with these people and make things right. And it's, for me, it's a lifelong process. I you know, I'm never gonna be done with them, I don't believe. There's always gonna be something that's gonna come up. And there were people that I hurt that I have no idea where they are. They don't even live here. They live in another state. And I don't even, you know, I have no idea whether they're even alive or dead. And the chances of me being able to make amends to them are pretty slim. And I asked Beverly about that because by this time I knew that I really needed to do all this stuff because I was afraid that I would drink again if I didn't do all of it. And my own experience proved to me that that was true. And she said, if there are people that you cannot make amends to directly, then you do anonymous random acts of kindness. And so that, and she said, and if somebody finds out or you tell somebody, then you have to do something else because this is about humility. This is not about people telling you what a wonderful person are because you did X, Y, and Z. And so I try to do that because there are a lot of people that I hurt that I know that I'm not going to see again. So I try to do that to the best of my ability as often as I can. And when I'm spiritually fit, it's easy for me to look for those things to do. And but that's the key for me. I have to be spiritually fit. If I'm not, then I'm not looking for opportunities to be of service to other people. I'm looking for opportunities for other people to be of service to me. So, you know, all of this, you know, it's all contingent upon my spiritual condition. And that's really important for me to remember that I got to bring God into all of this all the time. And, you know, it's been, as we all are, you know, we're learning new ways to do this stuff. And so I had to learn even new ways to pray and interact with my higher power because I don't have face-to-face, you know, relationships right now, except for, you know, with the mailman, I waved to him and that's about it. And so, you know, it's about, you know, learning new ways to do these things. And there's prayers all through the book. You know, we clean house with the family, asking each morning in meditation that our Creator show us the way of patience, kindly tolerance, kindliness, and love. So I try to do that every day. I'm not always successful with it. It's funny because Jack said to me when he got home today, he said, "You sounded like you were really irritated." And I was, but it was something that I didn't have anything to do with him. And I basically corrected it before he even got home because what I'm working on now is really trying to keep my stuff separate, you know, from, and not take it out on him because, you know, he's the closest person to me. I see him every day. And it's easy to, you know, spill my garbage on him. And so that's, you know, what I'm really working on right now is to try not to do that. Cause you know, when I'm out in public, I can kind of spread that obnoxiousness around, but if I'm not out in public, then he gets it all. So this, you know, working to be a good person is, you know, it's a lifelong process. And for me, you know, steps 8 and 9 are crucial. I can know all of my defects of character. I can know what a jerk that I was, but if I'm not willing to look these people in the eye and say, you know what, I'm really sorry, what can I do to make this right? then the rest of it doesn't really matter, and I'm not going to grow spiritually. And I think that's pretty much all I have to say for now. I know that if none of you have questions, Kevin certainly does. Thank you.
Thank you, Terry.
So funny to see you guys clapping and I can't hear it.
Yeah, you can hear that
one. Thank you. Thank you.
So, does anybody have any questions that they would like to pose to Terry?
Jim, alcoholic.
Hi, Jim. Hey, Jim.
I've got a question. Thanks, Terry. So, let's say, okay, I'm asking this for a friend, okay?
Okay.
Let's say that that I reached out to an attempt to make an arrangement to make an amends, and that was just shut down with just anger and bitterness, which is probably rightfully so. Like another. Like how many attempts maybe do I try to do this? And it's not somebody that's just down the street, they're across the country. You know, how many times you try to like just say, hey, I'd like to have a few minutes of your time?
Well, you know, the book says, you know, if we don't think we're gonna be able to do face-to-face amends, we write an honest letter. So if that's a possibility, then that's probably what I would do. The other thing is, for me, it's about the willingness. You know, if I have the willingness to make that amend, and I'm supposed to make that amend, God's going to set it up. And it may not be in any kind of way that I think it's going to be set up. But for me, the willingness is, and that's what Beverly said to me, you know, as long as you're willing to make this amend, you're going to be okay. You're not going to get drunk. But it does, it talks about writing an honest letter. If you can do that, do that. And it's none of my business what they do with my amend. It's only my business what I do with it.
Okay. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Who's next? Who else has a question for Terry?
Hi, everyone. I'm Helen. I'm an alcoholic.
Hiya, Helen. Hey, Helen.
Terry, thank you so much for your journey through eight and nine tonight. I get nervous on this thing. I feel like I'm on television or something. But where you were talking about people we can't get in touch with, that was very true when we got sober. But you know, today with all the social media and all the internet.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about tracking down some people on the internet or through social media to make amends?
I've actually done that with some people, because yeah, that's certainly a tool that we didn't have before. And you know, it's selfish. I want to check those names off that list if I can. But you know, and there are some people like I don't even, you know, there's no possible way that I would even know where they are. I don't even remember their last names. I don't even, you know, they're probably not even alive. If they are, they're, you know, like 140 years old. But for me, social media is a great way to track people down. And I got an opportunity to do that a couple of years ago. And actually the guy had, I set my profile to public now. And so people can find me. Mm-hmm. And I was real paranoid about that before, but I'm okay with it now. And a guy that I actually owed an amend to got a hold of me a couple of years ago. And it was just like, it was, he didn't need the amend. I needed to make it. And he's like, oh my God, you know, that was 100 years ago. I never even, you know, it, whatever. And I said, you know, this is about me, you know, I'm in recovery and you know, I need to make things right to the best of my ability if I want to stay sober. And he was like, wow. He said, I had no idea. And then he started to talk about his wife who has a problem with alcohol, he thinks. And so, you know, social media for some stuff I think is absolutely just a wonderful resource, you know? So yeah, I reach out I reach out as much as I can. Thank you for bringing that up. That's a really good point.
Thanks, Terry.
Who's next?
Oh, Jack.
Hi, Terry. Jack, alcoholic.
Hiya, Jack.
Thanks for your treatment of these steps. It's terrific. You mentioned that Beverly had you put together a couple of lists, sort of categorizing the various types of amends you needed to make. Did you, either your experience either with Beverly or with the folks that you work with, do you talk about timing issues that you need to do these within a certain time frame or anything like that, or is it just sort of left to chance? That's part number one. And this sort of tags on to what Jim said in his question. He mentioned reaching out to somebody. I remember hearing a lead suggest that, you know, you really need, if you can, I mean, sometimes people just pop up and you don't have any forewarning, but if you can, it's a good idea to let people know why you want to talk to them. You know, instead of just springing it on them, you say, hey, you know, I'd like to, a few minutes of your time, I'd like to talk to you about something I want to try and make right, you know, whatever you decide to say. So my question is timing. What are your thoughts on timing issues? And secondly, contact with people before you make the amend.
Excellent. Well, what I tell them is the people who live in your house with you, they're the ones that you need to make the amends to first, because they're the ones who have probably suffered the most. And so those are the people, you know, the spouse, the kids, those are the people you need to make the amends to first. And you know, after that, for me, it kind of almost goes out in like a circle. Like, first it's your immediate family, the people that live in your house, and then it's like the next layer out of family. Because those are the people that really probably all of them did suffer the most, you know, by your absence, by, you know, you stealing from them, or, you know, whatever it is. And so those, I say, you know, get those done like right now, you know, don't be waiting on those. The other ones, it's been my experience that if I'm praying about it and I'm asking God, you know, to show me who I'm supposed to make amends to next, I'm going to run into them in Aldi's, you know, or wherever. And so the family for me is the most immediate. Also employer, you know, if you've been, you know, tapping the employer for, you know, money or, you know, Staples or whatever, you probably need to talk to them. And that's a delicate thing though. You know, if you work for GE, you probably don't need to go to the, you know, the head of GE and say, hey, you know, I've been stealing whatever. But you know, if you're working for, you know, a small little company and you've been kind of, you know, skimming off the top or whatever, you need to sit down, you need to figure that out and say, you know what, these are the things that I've done and you know, I want to pay this back. I want to pay back this money. I want to make this right and make a payment arrangement with them, because that's important too. Again, it's not, and you might get fired, but you know, it's been my, cause I've had to do that with a couple of small employers and, you know, I had to trust that whatever was supposed to happen was going to happen. And, you know, could you get fired? Sure. But you know, it's been my experience, you know, that I know how fortunate I've been in my life that I've worked for some people who have said, you know what, I so much appreciate you telling me the truth and you know, yeah, I'd be happy to, you know, work out payment arrangements with you and you know, it's okay, because I need to be able to look people in the eye, and for me that's the big deal. And you know, the IRS is going to come get you, so you know, that's kind of their time frame, if you want to call that making amends, but they'll find you, so they'll get their money. But for me, it's really about the family first, and you know, the people that are the closest to me that go first. And there's a lot of people that, you know, that I did do harm to, that they really, you know, they didn't like me. They didn't like me before, and they sure didn't like me now. And making those amends is difficult, but it's necessary. Now what is opening up all by myself? I don't know. All right, sorry guys, I might be going away again here. For me, it's about the people that are the closest to me that go first. And that's an excellent point about, you know, explaining to people what you're trying to do first. Thank you.
Thank you.
What the heck?
Hey, Bob, should you have a question next?
Yes, I do, Greg. Thank you.
All right, sure.
Terry, good talk on that. And, you know, you were just talking about family first. And, you know, I'm in a situation, I've been married 33 years. I have an adult daughter that lives at home. I have an adult son that's at law school. And my wife basically said I had to move out until I stopped drinking, which I have. But it's only been a little while so far. But as for making amends to them, I've said I'm sorry to them I don't know how many times, you know. The close family that you've already apologized to, how do you make amends?
Well, first of all, if you're not at steps 8 and 9, you shouldn't be opening your mouth. Because you can do a lot of damage. I made amends to somebody before I understood what I was making amends for, and that relationship will never be repaired. So, you know, I need to do the steps in order, and I need to know why I'm making the amends. And saying I'm sorry doesn't cut it. The first amend that I can make with my family is to stop being a jerk, you know, and to change my behavior. One of the things that I was notorious for doing was in my second marriage, I was sober, and he went back out and he drank for a couple of years, which is why we ultimately ended up getting divorced. And so I justified that to really treat him badly. Like, I would go to a meeting and we'd go out for coffee after a bunch of us or whatever. And I wouldn't tell him that that's what I was going to do. Because I didn't feel like he deserved to know, you know, where I was. It was really none of his business because he was drinking anyway. And it was a really crappy thing to do. And I had to take a look at that, and I had to make some amends for that, because, you know, I would expect somebody to do that for me. If I were going to be late, then, you know, if the other person were going to be late, I would want to know about it. And so, you know, that's one of the things that I looked at. You know, I can still be a jerk whether or not I'm drinking. And so, you know, it's those kind of behaviors that I have to take a look at. Am I treating the other person with respect? And so, you know, I don't know where you're at in the steps. I don't know who your sponsor is, but what I'm going to say is if you're not at steps 8 and 9, then pretty much keep your mouth shut. Thanks.
Thanks, Terry.
Who else has a question?
I can go. It's Rena, alcoholic.
Hi, Rena.
Hey, Rena.
Terry, can you describe the difference between an apology and an amends, please?
Well, an apology just basically says, I'm sorry. You know, I hurt your feelings or whatever. I'm sorry. An amend is absolutely taking steps to make it right. I can say, geez, I'm sorry I stole this money from you. And that doesn't really help. You know, it doesn't help anybody. But the amend says, I stole this money from you. Let me make arrangements with you to pay it back. And so for me, that's the difference. You know, apologies don't mean anything. Now, if I get into, you know, a little squabble with Jack or something, you know, then, you know, I'll say, I'm really sorry I was a jerk. But still, I try not to repeat that behavior. I try to use a different one to be a jerk, because it's progress. But for me, an amend is something that, you know, I need to make it right to the best of my ability.
Thanks, Terry. I have a question about living amends also. And my experience was my wife that I, at the time, you know, saying sorry wouldn't cut it. And my sponsor suggested just keep doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. You know, make it like the song says, it's the last time I'm ever going to say I'm sorry, because mm-hmm. I'm going to prove her without even talking to her that I'm a different person. I'm a better person. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's going on 12 years and, you know, I just picked up a pie she made for me. So it does work. And you've kind of answered my question before I asked it through Bob and Rena. But I thought I'd share that and thank you for your thoughts on it. So the closer the person is, the more it seems I do a living amends, and it works. It's been working very well for me.
Good. Thank you, Bruce.
Anyone else?
Beth, alcoholic.
Hi, Beth.
Hey, Beth.
So my question is, what happens if you're not ready to make that amends and your God keeps putting that person in your path?
Well, you are ready. You might not think you are, but you better get your ego out of the way, because that's what God is showing you. And, you know, and here's the thing, and we've discussed this before, he will tap you on the shoulder, and if you don't pay attention, he will give you a little nudge, and if you don't pay attention, you will get a baseball bat to the gut, and he will bring you to your knees. So in my experience, I try as much as I can to pay attention to the little tap on the shoulder, because it's a lot less painful in the long run. So pray about it, pray for the willingness, make the amend. What do you got to lose?
Nothing.
There you go. This is here. Okay, cool.
All right, anyone else?
Good God. Okay, is it Kevin's? Must be Kevin's turn.
Huh? It's my turn then, I guess. I try to count to five now. I was told to count to five. Last time I counted to three, so... Anyway, I just want to kind of recap. One of the things that you talked about was, I know I was sitting in a meeting, I was about 5 or 6 years sober, and somebody mentioned office supplies, and I almost fell out of my chair. I was like 40 some years old, and I had never bought a pen or paper or pencil or notebook, or, you know, I mean, I think office supplies were like, you know, just a gift from God, just because. And having to make those amends was different, because I was in charge of the department at the time. And so what was suggested to me was I did things anonymously for the employer and anonymously for my staff, because, you know, if they had something that I liked, it was mine. So I had to make all those different kind of amends, all kinds of different ways. The other thing that you mentioned that I think is really one of the most important things was checking with your sponsor before you make amends. Mm-hmm. Do you, when you're working with somebody, or you come in contact with somebody and they said, well, I want to, like somebody tonight mentioned, Bob mentioned making amends, and you said, you know, no, if you're not there, don't do that. So I think that's really important. And I like the way you broke it up into three different categories of things that I'm willing to do, things that I might be willing to do, and things that I'm taking with me when I go to heaven. So when you're working with somebody and they say, you know, you have their fifth step with you, correct? Mm-hmm. And you work off their fifth step for amends, correct?
Mm-hmm. Well, I have them make a list.
Right. Oh, so, okay. Yeah. So they have a list. And then when you go over their list, is there things that you think that maybe they don't need to do?
Well, you know, there are situations where you can... It's about motives, and you know that's what Beverly says to me. I'll check your motives and pray about it. If I'm gonna dump some garbage on somebody that's in it, and it says that, you know, unless when to do so, except when to do so would injure them or others. If I'm gonna dump some garbage on somebody just to make me feel better, but it's gonna cause them harm, then my motives are not good. You know, I had a friend talk about it at a meeting one time. He said he got back together. You know, he'd been separated from his wife. He started to get sober. They got back together, and he told his wife about all these affairs that he had, and he ended up getting divorced. And so, you know, talks about that, you know, what are we going to do about something like that? You know, if we think the person knows, you know, maybe we, you know, bring it in a general way, but you know, we don't involve other people without asking them about it too. You know, I don't have a right to involve other people in my amends. And so, yeah, there's times when I'll say, no, we're not doing that. You know, this is where the living amends come in, where, you know, you just, that's not a behavior that you do again. But we don't hurt people, you know, we don't hurt people. And if I'm making amend and it's going to hurt somebody, then it's not really an amend. Wow, that's pretty good, God.
So how about when somebody's checking in you, not to get ahead of us, but when somebody's talking to you and maybe doing a 10-step inventory with you, mm-hmm. and you seem to notice that maybe that's something that they may need to make an amends for in the future, do you like, you know, you sponsor multiple people, do you kind of keep like a little pad that kind of reminds you of how to steer some of your sponsees?
No, I don't. I know other people do, but generally, if it's something that I know they need to be working on, it's in here, you know, and God'll bring it out to the forefront when they need to hear it, and so I don't make physical notes. Because I wouldn't want to like drop over dead and have somebody else find that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? So, but yeah, there's certainly, you know, situations where I will kind of nudge them in a certain direction, or I'll just flat out say, hey, you know, like I just said to Beth, you need to make the amends, suck it up and make the amends, you know? So it just, you know, it just depends on the situation. And of course, everybody that I sponsor is so different, and they're in, you know, different spaces in their recovery and, you know, different lives. So it's not, you know, for me, it's not super black and white, and it's not like a, you know, they're different. So, you know, we work together differently.
Thank you. Let's see if somebody else has a question.
Yeah, anybody else?
Bob,
you have another one?
Yep, one quick one, Terry. I'm a cat lover. Where's your cat?
She's in the other room on top of the cat tree. One of the cat trees.
Bring her in next time. I like to see her.
Okay. I can do that. I can bring her in.
Yeah, I saw Rena's.
And we saw Beth's dog. Yeah.
So this is a pet friendly meeting.
Yes, it is.
There's somebody. Yeah, Rena's got a nice cat. Look at that. Big baby. Yeah.
I like Marianne's cat. It looks like Ike.
Oh, that's just wrong.
No, so do you think I need to make an amends to Ike or Marianne?
I don't know.
Is that Marianne just an apology? Okay,
I don't know, yeah. Ike, I don't know. He doesn't look like a cat. See, look, he's leaving the room. Now, well, see,
I guess I do owe an amends.
You hurt his feelings.
Sorry, Ike, for hurting your feelings. Have to unmute yourself, Marianne.
I don't think she knows. Can she unmute herself?
Yeah, she should be able to.
Here. There you go.
Oh. I know how to do it.
There you are.
There you go. You got it now.
Ike said, send me a dollar. Send him a dollar.
Okay, I'll send him a dollar. That's terrific. Well, I really appreciate it. And on behalf of myself and the group, thanks, Terry, for doing a great
Thank
job.
Thank you, Terry.
Anybody have any Thank other you. Questions? Such a shy group. I guess that we're done.
Yeah, that's it.
All right, that should do it. Thank you.
I love the claps. Thank you, everybody. Thank
so you. Do we have any announcements from membership?